And this is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight
Entertainment. The college review, movie review month. Trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, we're all about higher learning.
I see what you did there. So welcome back, everyone. Another week. We are doing movies that highlight college, universities, higher education.
Right. I mean, it's sort of like getting into college, being in college, just everything around that mentality.
Exactly. And this episode, we're going back to the 90s, 95 to be exact.
Right. It's the, we are going into the John Singleton's classic Higher Learning that really speaks to all of the interracial tensions that happen on a college campus.
Yeah. Before I get into that, let us do the time travel back in 1995, January 11th to be exact. That was the time this particular film was released. All right, 95. I was a sophomore in high school.
And I was a sophomore in college. Right.
See, we're on our sophomore years. Now, well, the things we were watching on TV from 5 to 1, Monday Night Football, number 5, Carolina in the City. Was that Brooke Shields joint? I forget.
That was who's the woman that was in Back to the Future?
Leah Thompson?
Yeah, I think she was the main actress in that.
Oh, I didn't know she had a movie. I didn't know she was in the show. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Lorraine.
I think it was either Hulu or something, you know, where sometimes when a show ends, like all the everything in a show and it just sort of pops up a new show and starts playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline in the City came on. I was like, wait a minute. That's that show that we're always like, what is that?
Oh, okay. So that was Leah Thompson. Wow. So
yeah, and she was like a comic strip writer. Uh-huh. That had a large female following. And it was like her life. I didn't watch the full episode. I watched the first 30 seconds. I was like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember this.
You're like, next. Yeah, cool. So Lorraine McFly was holding it down, number 4. Friends, of course, number 3, because it's the 90s. Seinfeld, number 2, because, of course, it's the 90s. And George Clooney and the band was holding it down in the ER, number 1. And song, man, yeah, this, I mean, 95, I mean, this was, okay. So this is 95, beginning of 95. This was when, like, kind of like the R&B ballads was really just getting it in. This particular one was from Boyz II Men. It wasn't End of the Road. It was On Bended Knee. That was their number one. That was the number one song.
Yeah, I can't say. I still was not listening to popular music. So, I mean, I vaguely remember that song, but I'm pretty sure it was not on the channels I was listening to.
No, I mean, it's an amazing begging song. I mean, this is a perfect song. Like, you know, if we broke up, yeah, this is the song I would send you. So you can give me a call. I mean, this is like the best begging song like ever. So anyway, yeah. And then Higher Learning came out in 95. So Higher Learning, like Jen was said, a John Singleton joint with an all-star cast. pretty much. It looked so young back in 95.
Yeah, I mean, so starring Omar Epps, Christy Swanson from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The original Buffy.
Right, the movie. Michael Rapaport, Jennifer Connelly, Ice Cube, Tyra Banks, mm-hmm. Lawrence Fishburne, mm-hmm. and a few other folks.
And Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes, yeah.
Okay, getting about Busta Bus.
Can I just say, like, I feel like I saw this movie in the 90s, and I was automatically turned off because Tyra Banks, she was just overacting in every single scene. And I think I haven't seen this movie since the 90s because of her. Huh. Sorry.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
And then I went back. I went to the higher learning trivia. I was like, why the fuck was she cast? Oh, she was dating the director at the time that this movie was made. So, of course, she was cast.
Her and John was had a thing going on. Yeah, I don't know. She wasn't as bad as I don't know. Maybe because she's not in there long enough, and she don't occupy like the majority of the scenes for me to really be like, oh god, no.
There's just some people where you're like, next.
Yeah.
I mean, also, the entire movie is very in your face and disturbing.
Welcome to America. What's her name? The Twilight chick.
The Twilight
chick? Kristen Stewart. Like, she does She does that for me with her.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like she can't act her way out of a wet paper bag, and yet she still get movies. Yeah, but go figure. Anyway.
Charlie's Angels.
Honestly, the other two.
Yeah.
To me, were carrying the scenes, and she was just kind of like, "Hey, I'm Kristen Stewart in the scene."
Yeah.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Banks. Like, I kind of wish they would have cast someone else instead of Kristen Stewart. Because I mean, it felt like the other two women were kind of throwing off some really good energy in the scene, but Kristen Stewart kind of have this slight kind of awkwardness and try to be humorous, but it don't really land. Pretty well. Right. I don't know. Anyway, but okay. It is what it is.
Okay. What is Higher Learning about?
Mm-hmm.
It starts out, we get to meet some of the main characters, which are Omar Epps. His name is Malik Williams. We meet Christy Swanson's character, Kristen Connor, and Michael Rapaport. His character's name is Remy.
Remy.
And we meet the three of them. It's basically the beginning of their freshman year. And it's freshman, first semester, and what it's like to be on campus from a Black athlete's perspective, a single white female's perspective, and then a nerdy white dude who doesn't really fit in with anything.
Right. Yeah. Awkward white. What is he was from Idaho or Iowa? One of those with the eyes. he come from a place that don't have a lot of diversity. So it's such a
culture shock
because the awkwardness he experienced is really genuine. Like, hey, I don't know Black people. I don't know Hispanic. I don't know Asian people. Like, I never lived around them. So he tries to, try to figure out how to fit in, but he don't know how to communicate with other people.
Right. His EQ, his emotional intelligence is not that high. His IQ might be high, but he doesn't know how to interact with humans in general. So every interaction that you see him with at the beginning of the movie is very awkward. It's very what are you doing? Why are you staring at me? What's your problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's across the board, everyone he interacts with. Exactly. And so the white supremacists, the Nazis, take him under their wing and really start to groom him and educate him on why he's feeling awkward. Isn't because he has low EQ. It's because society is putting down the white man. And so he starts to feed into that rather than recognizing that maybe he needs to take a step forward and learn things about people.
Yeah. Okay. This film was released in 1995. If you watch it, and now, you know, we revisited this film. It's so eerie. This could have came out last week. We're still talking about the same shit that John Singleton was highlighting in this movie. It's crazy.
It was terrifying how nothing has changed.
Yeah, exactly.
As a black man, I'm sure you're aware of that. In my naivety, I like to think that things have changed, but nothing has changed. even like there's a couple scenes where the cops come in and it's like the white guy doing something wrong and the black person calls the cops and the black person gets the shit beat out of them. Even though they're trying to stop what's going on. And it's like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah,
everything he was putting in the movie was very soft compared to what we now see on people's iPhone videos.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so amazing how this movie is almost like it was supposed to be a moment in time and kind of like a commentary on kind of the experiences in college to be a springboard for racial issues in America. Right. But watching it now in 2020, it's like, wow, like this is such a a precognitive movie. It foreseen or not foreseen, because it was going on then and it's still going on now. The sad thing is there's no evolution from the things that were said back in 95 when John Singleton made this movie. And now it's like you said, it's like it's like a standstill, like nothing moved. Like, you know, far as what he was saying in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think when I saw this movie in the 90s, I felt that it was fictional. And that was also not just because I'm a white person, but it was also because my college experience was all of my friends were people of color my freshman year. My roommate was from Mexico. She hung out with all the black fraternities. And so everyone we hung out with, I was usually the only white person around. And so I didn't see all of that, like the racial tension, because I just like merged into that group. And I'm sure like if I had been like looked around, I would have seen how other people reacted to them, but because I wasn't looking for that, I didn't see it. Now that I'm more aware of Black Lives Matter and all the videos that come out of how people react to people of color, this feels way too realistic. So I'm sure like when you saw it in the 90s versus how I saw it were very different.
Yeah. And even seeing it now is a very different experience from seeing it in 95, because I was still in high school. I was kind of like, well, is this going to be like this in college? Like, that kind of scared me a little bit. But then I thought about like, well, you know, this is going on, you know, without college. So I always looked at this film as John Singleton's do the right thing in college. It was like his do the right thing, except it involved college. And it was even more, it was broader, because he used college as this springboard to talk about, you know, more like wider issues, like, you know, far as right. The issue.
He hits on the race thing a whole lot, but he also hits on date rape.
Yeah. Sexuality. Like sexuality, policing, you know, the pretty much the American institution itself, community segregation. Right. I mean, 'cause because
even a bit about like Christopher Columbus, that we celebrate this person that was a slaver and a murderer and a pedophile.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So the movie takes place as fictional college, Columbus University, right? Which it actually, the film is shot, the exteriors of UCLA. Mm-hmm. So it's actually UCLA, but you know, it's not really UCLA. They shot all the exteriors of UCLA. Yeah. And what I really, it's fun, you know, when you first see, when I first see him in 95, I was just I was wrapped up in the performances. It was like Ice Cube. Ice Cube was like this big Afro wearing kind of like militant, thinking person within the university that I think he was like a 6-year senior or something like that.
He's like, as a person that was a 6-year senior, I totally recognize, like, I bonded with his character in that aspect. But I lived off campus and he was a 6-year senior still living on campus. But he was there to like educate the incoming freshmen. Like, don't just read what they assign you, broaden your horizons. You're here in college to learn and learn about life. So you should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I really appreciate about this film is it follows a classic narrative pattern. Like you said, it follows these three freshmen. So when you first starts off, and what I really love is the imagery of the American flag throughout the movie, because the film starts off with this like big, you know, image of the American flag, and then it pulls out into the campus, and then it's like first day of school and you got the bands out there, and it's like it's a joyous thing. It's very hopeful, optimistic, you know, new year, new possibilities, right? And then we follow Malik and the Christy Swanson character, Kristen. So
and, yeah, they both get into the elevator together, and yeah, she does the typical white person when they're alone with a black person. You grab your purse because you think they're going to rob you.
Mm-hmm. And Malik peeps that, and he just like shakes his head at her, like, oh, here we go, kind of thing, you know. So it sets up so much without really saying anything. Like just like
without any dialogue.
Without any dialogue, you automatically know where she's coming from. Like she's probably come from this. She's probably from this sheltered suburban. Don't really interact with black people. She only know information of black people through the news and things like that. And you know, Rodney King or whatever. So she already like made her decision as far as judgment of people that's not white, right? And she finds out that her roommate is a black girl, played by the one and only Regina freaking King, of course. Mm-hmm. and so we kind of see her path through self-discovery. Right. You know, through,
I mean, yeah, her journey through the entire thing is very dark. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts out with, yeah, it's the racial thing. She's sort of scared of black people. And then she's assigned a roommate that's a black person. So now she has to sort of confront her own racial prejudices. And then she tries to fit in with the frat life of the university. And she ends up being date raped. And then through that entire experience, she finds an organization where she meets Jennifer Connelly's character, who's a lesbian, and she tries that out. And then she, I guess, decides she's straight at the end.
No, it was very ambiguous because I was thinking that
I think she's just bi.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I thought she was bi because she looked at the new boyfriend and she looks over at Jennifer Connelly, kind of like, I'm kind of with both of you guys.
Dived a little bit into Remy's character and Kristen's character. So now we're going to talk about Malik. Mm-hmm. And Malik's the like student athlete. He got a college scholarship and is there for track. and doesn't really understand why he needs to study. So we sort of see his growth as a character going from, I'm just here to run and I was a badass in high school and everything should be given to me, to really being getting a slap in the face and that you're no longer the shit, you have to work for this. And unlike high school where we're just going to let you pass, you actually have to study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they get, Kristen and Malik get the rude awakening of their financial situation when they step into the classroom of, I'll say, of Morpheus. He wasn't Morpheus in the movie. But might as well, Morpheus with a Jamaican accent. His name is Professor Maurice Phipps.
Yep.
Professor Phipps.
And he's like he's a literature professor, and he's really there to school everyone and help them get their writing and storytelling down as they like read appropriate literature.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, Lawrence is always on point, active. I mean, I'm hard pressed to find a role. He may have been in subpar films.
But he brings it.
I mean, he's good. And this film is no exception. And what I really loved about how he played the professor is, you know, he played it, you know, very cool, very patient, because he knows he's dealing with young people. He knows that these young people are dealing with things themselves, that they're hard-headed, they're stubborn, they're not really first to open their ears for it and listen to elderly advice. So, you know, he give honest grades, you know, he's like, hey, the reason why is this, I gave you this grade is because of X, Y, Z, you need to dig deeper. He's professor, like, you have to go deeper. Like, you have to find yourself through what you're expressing. Like, don't just do it as face value. Do it because you believe in what you're saying, or what you're trying to put out to the world. He's that professor that inspiring one, you know. It's funny. It'd be cool if him and Robin Williams were like across from each other, like like a damn voice. That'd be pretty cool. I'd go to that university all day.
And then also, who is the teacher in Stand By Me?
Stand and Deliver. He was a high school teacher.
Yeah, and Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was awesome too.
So we need to have the three of them in the same school really inspire their students.
Yeah. And let's just throw Morgan Freeman's Joe Clark in as the dean from Lean On Me. Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, let's just do that. Why not? Let's get crazy. And so, again, this movie was saying a lot. This movie was like just packed with a lot of commentary. If you really strip the scenes down, you strip kind of the character motivations and even the dialogue. Okay, people, this came out in 1995. There's a scene in this movie where Malik and the Ice Cube character they're playing Monopoly, right? And the Ice Cube character is picking Malik's brain about, you know, athletes and him, you know, what is he trying to do? Like, he just want to be famous. He just want to, you know, Malik just want to do his thing. You know, he want to be liked. He want to be loved. He want to be, you know, a celebrity. Not a celebrity, like, yeah, an athletic star. And Ice Cube, I swear, my jaw dropped when Ice Cube gave him that question. He's like, okay, well, let me ask you this, Malik. You know, say you at a game, you know, and the national anthem comes on. I was like, oh my God, they were talking about this in 1995. Like, wow, like John Singleton, oh my God, rest in peace, dude. Like, this is pre-Colin Kaepernick. They had a conversation about this in the movie.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I'm like, oh my God, wow. This film is just too much. It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it could easily have been filmed last week or released last week and it would still be relevant.
Oh, goodness. Yes. So much. And then another commentary on kind of like the segregate, like kind of like American segregation as far as communities, right? It's like in cities, it's like segregation. It's like, okay, you got your Black community, you got your white community, you have your Asian community, you have your Jewish community, stuff like that, right? And college served the same, had the same paradigm. I remember Ice Cube was poor. It's like, yeah, see, that's Chinatown. Cause it was all like all Asians like congregating. It's like, yeah, that's Mexico, whatever is all there. It's like, yeah, you know, we're the Black hole. Cause it was like all Black people, right? And so that was a really good commentary far as like what happened with the Michael Rapaport character, right? It was like he was just trying to kind of integrate himself in these bubbles, like these bubbles of, you know, these racial bubbles. He was like, okay, well, I don't belong here. I don't belong there. I mean, I'm getting shunned here. I'm getting clowned there. And it was kind of a cautionary tale, right? It's like, well, who welcomed him? The bad element that represents America welcomed him, right?
Right.
Because everyone else didn't. And I think that's a really interesting commentary.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically always viewed as the other in every group he went to. Because, you know, he sort of that whole EQ thing. He was lacking EQ and didn't know how to approach people and interact with them. And that also comes from being in a sheltered bubble where you don't have diversity in your neighborhood, and diversity really helps everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the irony of it is it's supposed to be an institution of higher education, you know, people that's willing to, you know, open their minds and welcome the, like, people that's not them to, you know, change the world. You go into school to have a redefinition of yourself and you want to contribute to society, but everyone have their blinders on of individual achievement within the confines of education, that they're not really opening their eyes of people around them and generally welcoming the others, you know, because they're kind of like they're all in the same boat type thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, personally, when I went to college, I was very lucky. My freshman year was with a very diverse group. My sophomore year, I joined a sorority and everything got pretty white after that. I guess I sort of needed my bubble.
Yeah, I mean, but that's truth, though, right? I mean, you have to experience, though. Like, and I'm sure you probably had conversations or you overheard conversations when who was around that, you probably was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure you did.
I definitely like remember what joining the sororities and like our sorority had a couple people of color, and it was like, oh, well, that sorority has people of color. When I was rushing, or, oh, that's the Jewish sorority. And so, yeah, it was definitely things like that were definitely called out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think what I really like about this movie, it stamps the questions, right? Instead of trying to answer anything. And I think that's what makes good movies great. It's because it just raises the question. It's up to us to answer it. It's like, it's not giving you answers. It's like, all right, why are certain things happening? Why are there reactions to certain things a certain way? Things like that. You know, I think that's what was really enlightening, especially watching it again.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's still relevant today. Because like when you were talking about the national anthem, portion of the movie, that conversation, he didn't say, like, he didn't provide an answer. He's just, he's putting that question out there.
Right.
So.
Yeah. He just asked. And then Malik's answer was, you know, in kind of a nonchalant way, like, well, hey, you know, I stand up, you know, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to stand up. And Ice Cube just give him this like cold stare. It's kind of like, you're not getting my question. You're not getting the scenario. Like, yeah. And it's a lot of things in this movie to unpack and strip down. I think I encourage people to watch it now more than ever. You know.
Yeah. I mean, and then hopefully it will inspire you to go educate yourself on diversity.
Yeah. And I love the last shot of the last shot is the American flag, right? And then there's text in red that says unlearn, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people could take that word however they want and apply it to however way they want to apply it in their lives, but you know, all the sci-fi geeks, what did Yoda tell Luke? You got to unlearn what you have learned. That's no coincidence. Like, yes. Like, yeah, there's kind of the teachings that's being thrown at you. Like, okay.
Your implicit biases.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So you have to unlearn it for you to get true knowledge.
Yeah, we also should point out that beyond like the racial things, the like date rape and the sexuality things, there's also like mass shooting covered in the movie.
Yeah. So much is in this movie. So much in this movie. And like I said, and I said policing earlier because you see two completely different ways that disturbance is being taken care of, right? You know, like they're telling black people, okay, y'all got to break it up. But like, there's no violence or anything. It's just a group of people just kind of standing there, but they don't say anything to the white crowd, right? They tell the black dorm, okay, cut the music down, party's over. But the Friday frat white people up the street are rocking out.
Right. Or like after the white dude takes a rifle and starts killing people, they calmly approach him and ask him to put the gun down. Whereas the black guy that's trying to stop the dude, they beat the shit out of him.
And handcuff him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and like, and I'm glad you brought that up because how the security or officer was trying to talk, Remy down, it was almost like he was trying to talk his son down to like, yes. He was like very like fatherly, very like calm, like it's okay, put the gun down, it's all right, we're not gonna hurt you, we just need you to put the gun down, okay, it's okay. It's like so calm and so soothing, like, but this is a complete stranger to this man, right? But he sees his son in him, right? He sees his, you know, his brother or something because he can identify with the color. It's like, that's why he's so like very negotiating. Like, okay, it's all right. It's okay. Just put the gun down. It's all right. Yeah. As I said, it was such a profound scene. Such a profound scene. And people or whoever, the All Lives Matter people, whatever, like, okay, watch that scene and get back to me and tell me there's not two different justice systems going on.
Well, I mean, that that scene reminded me of all of the photos of people being arrested, like the two different situations where you have these mass murderers who are white men that are like calmly handcuffed and given water or given McDonald's. And protected. And then you have these people that have minor offenses that end up dead.
Yep.
And the only difference between those two situations is the color of the skin.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, John Singleton managed to put 2020 into a movie that came out in 1995.
Yeah.
Minus the pandemic, but still. Yeah. All right.
So our rating system. Ass on the sofa, put your shoes on, or go outside and be shot.
Right.
I assume it's both ass on the sofa for both of us.
Yeah. Even more so after seeing it again, because I think it was so many things that went over my head or I didn't really pay attention to when I seen it, I guess, the third or fourth time. But yeah. Watching it in the context of 2020, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I feel like this movie should be required viewing for all freshmen going into college.
Yes. Yes. You're right. But then it wraps itself back around into the college scene, the university living, you know? So yeah, definitely. Watch it. If you haven't seen this movie, it's a very important film. I'm going to put this up there. Like you said, require viewing, even for my people who, you know, want to start, you know, reading books from authors that are not watching or supporting Black businesses or such. Watch this film also, because it actually calls out a lot of stuff. It calls out your intentions versus your actions.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you have it. High learning. Watch it. The late, great John Singleton. Pretty much watch it. Even the Too Fast, Too Furious. That was a fun movie. I don't care. I like Too Fast, Too Furious.
I mean, it's a bit too much gay romance or bro romance for me, but yeah, go for it.
Hey, Lethal Weapon lubed us up for that dynamic, so I don't see what's the problem.
This movie, you can actually watch it right now on Hulu. So if you have Hulu, you can watch it for free on there, and definitely recommend checking it out.
Yes. All right. So we'll see you guys on the flip side of Thursday. We're going to have some a little lighter, much lighter, much, much, much lighter, and fun. Very fun.
Going back to the 80s.
Yes. With some people that we all love from the 80s. Yes. All right. Yes. Until Thursday, wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes, stop this quarantine, y'all. Peace.